In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, July 10th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The Sudanese lawyer who defended Meriem Ibrahim has been arrested in a dispute over church property in Khartoum. Mohamed Mustafa was also representing the two Presbyterian pastors, Michael and Peter, now facing the death penalty. Sudanese pastor Tut Kone doesn't think this is anything new, saying, quote, "Almost all pastors have gone to jail under the government of Sudan. We have been stoned and beaten. This is their habit to pull down the church. We are not surprised," unquote. Matthew Clark, senior counsel for the ACLJ, told The World View that international attention and pressure is critical at this point.
International pressure is key in these religion persecution cases. A lot of times these countries, such as Sudan in this case, is very susceptible to international pressure. They're persecuting Christians, but they don't want the world to know it, and they are very susceptible to international outside pressure.
Remember those who are in chains, as though bound with them. Christian colleges in America stand to lose their tax exemptions, but will they also lose accreditation after the Supreme Court Obergefell decision? The Ontario Superior Court ruled that a Canadian Christian law school should lose its accreditation for its stand against homosexuality. Trinity Western University had filed a lawsuit upon being denied accreditation last year. They require students and faculty to, quote, "voluntarily abstain from sexual intimacy that violates the sacredness of marriage between a man and a woman," unquote. Meanwhile, the largest Baptist university in the country has caved in to homosexuality. Baylor University has officially removed the prohibition on homosexual acts from its sexual conduct policy. The school lifted its ban on dancing back in the mid-1990s. Whether forbidding dancing or approving of homosexual behavior, it's the same basic problem. As the Lord Jesus Christ said, "In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." Mark 7:7-8. Attorney General Loretta Lynch announced yesterday that federal marriage benefits would be made available to same-sex couples given over to a reprobate mind. These include programs for the elderly, veterans, and the disabled. Proverbs 17:15 applies, "He or she who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, they are both an abomination to the Lord." Homosexuals in Toledo, Ohio are demanding that a municipal court judge step down from his position for refusing to participate in a homosexual ceremony. Judge Alan McConnell is seeking the advisory opinion from the Ohio Supreme Court. The judge says his refusal was based on personal and Christian beliefs established over many years. Apparently, the Obama administration does not want to obey the federal courts either. A federal district judge is calling Obama administration officials into court for ignoring court injunctions relating to President Obama's immigration policies. On May 7th, the government admitted to violating the court's injunction on some 2,000 occasions. The next hearing is scheduled for August 19th, according to the American Center for Law and Justice. The Iran nuclear agreement is stalled again. United States officials are now giving less than a 50% probability at success. Computer problems, possibly hack jobs, shut down trading at the New York Stock Exchange for about 4 hours Wednesday. About the same time, United Airlines flights were interrupted for several hours because of a computer glitch. Also, the government announced yesterday that hackers grabbed personal information on 21.5 million Americans from the Federal Office of Personnel Management. In the providence of God, Alaska is confronting major forest fires, so far consuming 3 million acres, an area the size of the state of Connecticut. Alaska Wildland Fire Information recently reported 152 new fires ignited in a single weekend. About one quarter of them were started by humans. Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? Amos 3:6. The Confederate battle flag will rest in peace in the state of South Carolina. The governor ordered the flag removed on Thursday after a state House vote of 93-27. Forbes magazine reports that Christian evangelist Kent Hovind is finally free after 9 years in a federal penitentiary for charges of structuring and failure to file tax documents. His son Eric picked him up in Yazoo, Mississippi on Wednesday. May God grant wisdom, grace, and peace to the Hovind family. And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, July 10th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we address the news from a distinctively biblical worldview perspective. I'm a homeschool father of five, Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me as we address these various issues, many of which have a practical implication for our families as well, including the story that we're going to address right now because it applies to how we raise our daughters and what we do in terms of sports with our families. Here is a story, and many of you already know, the Women's World Cup 2015, secured by the American Women Soccer Team. And this article comes from the International Business Times. IB Times talks about what they perceive to be something of a contradiction or a hypocrisy on the part of the Republican candidates. Because all the presidential candidates, or most of the Republican presidential candidates, came out and gave their kudos to the American women's soccer team when they pulled off the World Cup 2015 up in Canada. I believe they won the match against Japan, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, 5-2.
Yeah, and so huge celebrations. Everybody's excited about this. Jeb Bush, Lindsey Graham, Chris Christie, Ted Cruz, Bobby Jindal, Mike Huckabee, Rick Perry, Scott Walker, Marco Rubio. They all showed up and they Twittered their little congratulatory remarks. And so this article in IB Times points out the hypocrisy because they all take a position against homosexuality and lesbianism in some way, shape, or form, and yet give the kudos to the women's soccer team. And the point made in this article is that this soccer team is not your average soccer team in more ways than one. This soccer team is the most lesbian out team in the world. And they, of course, they won the World Cup. So everybody's proud. Everybody's excited. Not just proud about their nation, but they're also proud about their nation's commitment to homosexuality. And it was celebrated, of course, by one of the lesbian players doing her lesbian thing with her lesbian whatever in celebration as the crowd roared in appreciation. So, all right. So now, you know, they're at the top of the world. They're excited. You know, everything's good. You know, hey, you know, we're celebrating our win. We're celebrating that America is one of the most pro-homosexual nations in the world now. And we're celebrating lesbianism. Apparently, again, the most lesbian team in the world. That, according to OutSports. OutSports is an LGBT sports site that is excited about the American soccer team because they are the most publicly out team with a coach and three players who are out lesbians, which means that they have told the world they're lesbians. That's what an out lesbian is. They're proud of it, and they're excited about it. And so if the American World Cup winning team is the most pro-lesbian or pro-lesbian team in the world, then this is an indication that we've got a very, very pro-lesbian nation, certainly as we come around them and give them the kudos for winning the World Cup. So that's the essence of this article. And I think there's some truth to it. There's some truth to the fact that there's a close association between this team and lesbianism. And the whole world saw it at the celebration at the end with a little lesbian activity taking place there on the field. So I think as those of us who stand against lesbianism and consider it to be a sin as presented in Scripture, then we need to continue to take this stand and perhaps take a stand against the team itself and what the team has accomplished.
Yeah, it looks like the only one that didn't do any tweeting was Donald Trump, who was too busy working on the whole anti-immigration thing. to tweet that. So we don't know where he is for traditional marriage. And so he didn't even take the time to tweet anything.
The close association is a problem. The close association between women's sports and lesbianism is a problem. And I think it needs to be considered by Christians, by Christian families, Steve. Here's a lesbian coach that threatened to burn down a Christian pizzeria in Indiana. She was removed from her post as coach at Concord High School of Elkhart, Indiana, for apparently the tweet that she sent towards this Indiana pizzeria. Also, here's an article from Catholic Womanhood. A woman by the name of Mary Hassan wrote an article called "When the Coach is a Lesbian," refers to the coach in a small Christian university in Nashville, Tennessee, Belmont University. Apparently, this soccer coach was removed because she officially outed, acknowledging that she was a lesbian and that, quote, "my partner and I are expecting a baby." And she was removed from her post for that reason. Now, my guess is because what has happened with the recent Supreme Court ruling, there won't be many of these removals of lesbian coaches from Christian universities and Christian schools anymore. That's my guess. Or these Christian universities will face severe lawsuits. But again, the question here is, what do you do when there's a fairly close association between lesbianism and sports? And now, that may not be the case in every situation. We know that's not the case in every situation. But there are situations in which there is close association between the game and lesbianism. And a good question for families is, what do you do? Well, Matthew 18 forbids us from in any way stumbling a little child. It would be better for you that a millstone be hanged around your neck and be drowned at the bottom of the sea. I think we need to remind people that the only way in which homosexuals reproduce is by way of the schools. You got to remember this. This is why it's so important to put those LGBT signs in K-6 schools in Douglas County, Colorado, and just about every other conservative county, public schools in America. As early as, you know, 6 or 7 years of age, these kids need to see these signs. They need to be indoctrinated when they're 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 years of age. They need to be prepared to become those homosexuals that homosexuals want them to become. And the reason for this, hopefully people understand the biological situation here.
Yeah.
They can't have babies. And yes, occasional artificial insemination, but that's a pain. That's expensive.
And it's artificial.
And it's artificial, yes. But the best way in which homosexuals reproduce is by way of the public schools. And so there will be a full court press towards bringing these lesbians into the coaching, into the schools, into the classrooms, wherever there are Christian schools, wherever there are private schools, and wherever there are public schools. This is a full court press, my friends. And we need to be very cautious with this. According to this article, this woman, this Catholic woman writes, and she's got, I think, an insightful comment here in an article on lesbian coaches. "When an impressionable athlete admires and seeks the approval of a coach whose lifestyle embraces intrinsically disordered sexual behavior, it's a confusing situation at best. The situation becomes even more confusing when parents say nothing negative, perhaps nothing at all, about a coach's open homosexual relationships." And this is the way in which our young people are slowly but surely merged into the homosexual lifestyle. I know young people, young millennial Christians, homeschools, kids attending your average nice little church here and there. They'll tell you, these teenagers will tell you, "I've got a friend who's homosexual," and they wear it like a badge. Somehow it's something of a badge if you have a friend who's a homosexual. Instead of saying, "You know, I've had opportunities to share the gospel. I've told them to repent. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance." Not the Pharisaical homosexuals, those who are saying, "Thank God I'm not like other men, I have no issues." But Jesus came to come to homosexuals, to fornicators, to idolaters, and call them to repentance. And you don't see that happening much with young people these days. Rather, they want to hang out.
Yeah.
Rather, they see homosexuality as something of a badge. And we need to continue to press scriptural claims upon our young people, and certainly do not give them role models, as in lesbian coaches, homosexual coaches, who would represent something of an abominable lifestyle. and yet try to serve as a role model for our kids. So, friends, I'm telling you, I'm warning you, be very, very careful with this whole problem of homosexuality and lesbianism within the public schools today, and it's only going to increase exponentially in the years to come. And expect lawsuits against universities, Christian colleges, and Christian K-12 schools on this very issue. And here's one more thing. As you raise your kids, as you raise your daughters, ask yourself, friends, is this the vision that God has for my daughter? If you get a postcard in the mail from some homeschool group, and they're establishing for the first time a female mud wrestling team in the area, now you're faced with the question. Are you going to join this thing? Are your daughters going to participate in this thing? Now, here's the question you really need to ask. Does this really help with the biblical vision of a meek and quiet spirit? Should your daughter join the roller derby queen team in Elizabeth, Colorado? Should she be a part of the mud wrestling team? Is this going to fit into the vision laid out in the Word of God for the meek and quiet spirit? Does this help with a biblical vision of chaste conversation coupled with fear, the fear of God? In her tongue is the law of kindness, shamefacedness, and sobriety, 1 Timothy 2. Are you going to get that? You're going to get the chaste conversation out of the lesbian roller derby queen team? Is that what you're going to accomplish here? Are you going to get the discreet, the chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, Titus 2? I'm just referring to every single passage in Scripture relating to the vision of womanhood. Will the participation of your daughter in the mud wrestling team produce the vision that God has for women? Okay, don't be an idiot here. I'm just encouraging people, don't be an idiot. When it comes to the paideia, the training, the raising of your kids, use the biblical vision. Now, I understand that the vast majority of the population is totally unconcerned with what God has to say about what our daughters need to be or not need to be or do or should not be. But the Word of God bears out the vision for it, and I think we need to identify the things that bring this about. That's why for our daughters, their lives amount to exercise, yes. They exercise. Most of my daughters will exercise almost every day. But family worship for an hour and a half every day. We listen to a sermon, typically from Martin Lloyd-Jones. Missions trips. My daughter Rebecca's on a mission trip now to Cambodia to help with hundreds of little girls who are taken by sex slavery. Economic endeavors, serving the church. These are the things that my daughters do. They're not going to be part of the World Cup women's lesbian team. You know, pulls off some national victory and gets the hurrah, hurrah from the Republican candidates. No. That's not the vision for womanhood. As presented in the Word of God. Be back in just a moment.
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. The American women's soccer team wins the World Cup. Woohoo! You proud of your nation? You proud of your nation? Proud of? Proud of what? Proud of what? Right? Proud of what? Ezekiel 16:49 says, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom." Condemnatory to Judah here.
Yeah.
But he says, your sister Sodom, this is the problem with Sodom. She and her daughter had pride.
Mm-hmm.
Fullness of food, abundance of idleness. They were haughty and committed abominations before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit. Okay, that's what God has to say about Sodom. Two problems. They were arrogant and they committed abominations. Two problems. Arrogant and committed abominations. Two problems. Now, we have the problem of pride, national pride,
mm-hmm.
and gay pride. And gay pride means we're proud of our homosexuality. And that's what Sodom was. Sodom was proud, and Sodom was proud of their homosexuality. That's strike two. Wow, we've got so much pride as a nation. It's scary. It's scary. And Sodoms tend to be proud. It's, you know, and once you're out of the closet and you're expressing some of those foul abominations against God, you're raising a fist against God and saying, God, I'm going to define who I am, and I will not be convinced by your law, and certainly I will not accept your Christ to save me from some of the most abominable things a human being has ever done. I'm not going to accept Christ here. Rather, I'm going to just be as proud as I possibly can be about my own autonomy. I'm going to be arrogant about the fact that I am the source of law. I will define my sexuality. I will define what is true and right and good for myself. And God, whatever you have said in your law, you can take it and put it somewhere else. That's the perspective of the American Gay Pride March. That's the perspective of the celebration in the end zone at the World Cup women's soccer thing. And that, my friends, is the sort of thing that turns God off. And we're talking about the God who destroyed Sodom. We're talking about the God who destroyed the entire world because of that rebellion and that autonomy that the world expressed against God prior to the worldwide flood. And that, of course, why billions of people, perhaps hundreds of millions of people, were destroyed in the flood, and certainly billions, if not trillions, of animals were destroyed as a result of the sin of man. God was wrathful against man at that time. And you think we're going to get away with what's happening right now if somehow he would not allow some of this stuff to go on and on and on prior to the New Testament? Friends, right now, we're calling the nations to repentance. In the times of the ignorance in the Old Testament, God winked. But now he calls all men everywhere to repent. And that includes the women's soccer team and the Republican presidential candidates when it comes to this issue of lesbianism and homosexuality.
Yeah, when God spoke to Abraham and gave him the land of Canaan, he said that the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet full. And so he waits for the iniquity to be full. And then he destroys, just like he did Sodom, just like he did Canaan, like he did Nineveh, Babylon, you know, and some, Rome.
Somehow these Western nations think just because they're apostate nations, they're going to get away with it. I'm sorry, that's not the way it works, my friends.
Yeah, if I don't believe in God, maybe he'll go away.
Yeah, right. Didn't happen in the Old Testament. It's not going to happen here either. And now Kenya's lawmakers vow to prevent Obama's dirty gay rights talk in Parliament. This is an article that came out through the Inquisitor a couple of days ago. These African nations are more righteous than us. We have very little to be proud of as a nation. Now we're exporting homosexuality, as President Obama did elsewhere in South Africa, Tanzania, Senegal. And now protesters gathering in the streets of Nairobi, Kenya. Senior officials there have condemned any language on the unchristian and dirty topic. And that's their language.
Wow.
They're using the word dirty, and they're afraid to even use the term there. And believe me, throughout the ages, Christian leaders have had a very difficult time even using the word or describing the issue of homosexuality. In my book, Keep the Faith, Volume 2, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, I bring out the historical viewpoint on homosexuality. And Martin Luther was afraid to even use the word. He said, I'm going to contaminate the German people if I even mention the sorts of things that the Italian Cistercians are doing in some of the monasteries south of the border. So Martin Luther was afraid to even use the term because he didn't want to defile his listeners or his readers. And we want to be careful with how we use these terms as well. I realize we almost have to deal with them because it's everywhere today. Our Christian children are running into homosexuals right and left. They live in our neighborhoods. And we have to be very clear that this is an egregious sin in the sight of God, as is pornography, as is the sin of fornication and adultery and illegitimate divorce, et cetera, et cetera. These are egregious sins and hardly should be mentioned even by Christians within the body of the church, according to Paul in Ephesians 5. But we have to mention them from time to time because it's just so common today. and our leaders, our media, our political leaders, our educational leaders are at the forefront, pushing these things as hard as they possibly can. I'm not proud of this nation. I'm not proud of this nation. I don't think we ought to be proud of this nation. I think we ought to use the law of God to determine whether or not this nation is blessed or may be blessed by God. I think we need to take a look at the law of God to distinguish between whether or not we have become proud Sodom or if we are a nation that is on its knees before God, repenting of our sins as defined by the laws of God. You see, we ought to use the law of God to determine whether or not this is a righteous nation. I wonder whether this nation is any better than Russia. If this nation ever declared war against Russia, who's the better nation? Seems to me that Kenya is a better nation than us.
Yeah.
As Jacob said about his daughter-in-law, he said, she has been more righteous than I. And I think the Kenyans, the Africans, have been more righteous than Americans.
Yeah, didn't Uganda also reject?
They did.
Yeah.
They did. These African nations are better than that burned out, humanist, materialistic, existentialistic mess that we have become here in America. We've got stuff to repent of, my friends. And as a nation, I don't think we ought to respond in irrational, raw patriotism. No, 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 no. If there's something in America we can be happy with, then let's say we're happy with that. But as a nation, there's very little to be appreciative of. There's, you know, something here and there. Someone mentioned to me that Condoleezza Rice played Amazing Grace on the piano. Okay, that's something to be happy for, but that's not definitive of the country. She is an ex-Secretary of State, and she plays Amazing Grace. Okay, well, that's something, but now let's talk about the Supreme Court of the United States and what they did and the direction they set for the entire nation 8 days ago. Come on, let's be clear on what's happening here with the United States. Let's think clearly. Let's not give way to irrational patriotism. Let's use the law of God to define our terms and determine whether America is an obedient nation whose God is the Lord or a nation in rebellion against God and is bound for the judgment of God. Let's use the law of God to define our terms and define our situation today. Friends, we're not in a good position at all. The Kenyans are just afraid of President Obama's visit. Apparently, they don't even want him there. They don't want him visiting. Why? Because he's going to speak on this issue of homosexuality. And the White House indicates he doesn't plan to shy away from it now. Why not? Even with all the resistance he's getting from Africa, why won't he? Because he's courageous. He's a missionary. He's an evangelist for humanism, for the things that are destroying our nation, for the most socially destructive vices known to man. He's at the forefront of selling these things to other nations. And his courage is impressive. I wish that those of our faith would emulate his courage from time to time. You follow me here, Steve? I wish they would press through from time to time.
Yeah, when Peter and John were arrested and they went before the Sanhedrin and they said, "You fill Jerusalem with your doctrine. We forbid you to go out and speak in the name." Well, they went back and they got their friends together and they prayed. They prayed that, you know, to the God who created everything. They said, "Behold their threats, give us courage to go out and speak in the name anyway." And God did, and they changed the world.
Folks, the issue today, more than anything else, is homosexuality and sexual sin. And that's why we put together a book called Keep the Faith on Sexuality, calling all of us to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. According to the definitions of sin that God has laid out in his word. And so we've put together a simple book on homosexuality. This is really the core of the battle. This is the battle between religious freedoms and sexual license that is heated up because of the Supreme Court, and it's only going to get more severe over the next 5-6 years. Be sure you're equipped. Be sure you understand. Be sure your kids understand what the Word of God has to say about homosexuality, incest, polygamy. I deal with all these things in this book. Why? Because they're coming. Because it's happening right now in this nation. So friends, get educated right now on this issue and be sure you have what the Word of God has to say about homosexuality, incest, polygamy, sexual sins, and what we should do as a church, how churches should engage in church discipline on these issues. I deal with these things in my book, Keep the Faith on Sexuality, a review of 2,000 years of what the greatest Christians in the history of the Christian church have said about some of the most important issues, really the hot button issues of the present day. Get a copy of Keep the Faith on Sexuality at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. That's Keep the Faith on Sexuality, available at kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.